Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 24, Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation, Text 47. Jano Budo Yamanija Karma Bandhanaha. Sukhe Chaya Karma Samihite Sukham. Yat Sevaya Tam Vidunot Yasanmatim. Grantim Nabandaya Dridayam Sanaguruha. Jana, the conditioned soul subjected to birth and death. Abudaha, most foolish because of accepting the body as the self. I am he. Nija karma bandhanaha. Accepting different bodily forms as a result of his sinful activities. Sukha ichchaya. Desiring to be happy within this mature world. Karma. Free of activities. Samihite. Plans. Asukam. But it is for distress only. Yat sevaya, by rendering service unto whom? Tam, the entanglement of karma. Vidunoti, clears up. Asatmatim, the unclean mentality, accepting the body as the self. Grandim, a hard knot. Saha, his lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bindyat, being cut off. Ridayam, in the core of the heart. Saha, he the Lord. Naha, ar. Guruhu, the Supreme Spiritual Master. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In hopes of becoming happy in this material world, the foolish conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering. But by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. Purport. For material happiness, the conditioned soul involves himself in fruitive activities, which actually put him into material distress. Because the conditioned soul does not know this, he is said to be in avidya or ignorance. Because of a false hope for happiness, the conditioned soul becomes involved in various plans for material activity. Here Maharaj Satyavrata prays that the Lord sever the hard knot of false happiness and thus become his Supreme Spiritual Master. In hopes of becoming happy in this material world, the foolish conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering. But by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. As it says here, that material life begins with desire. In other words, we don't do things without desire. First we desire, we think, we feel, and then we will. These are all different stages of desire. And when the living entity is under the conditioned state of knowledge, In other words, when we come to the material world, we don't come generally as a self-realized soul. We come back to the material world according to our previous fruit activities and desires. Now, in the human form of life, we're fortunate because the covering is not as thick as the other species of life. There it says, Dumena vriyate vanir, yatarda shomalena cha, yatobin avrita garbas, tatateneiram avritam. Just like the fire is covered by smoke, or the embryo is covered by the womb, or the mirror is covered by dust, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust, kama, or desire. That as soon as we get a material body and we identify with it, that means there must be some desire. If I think I'm this body, then I think the goal of my life is to satisfy my senses. Up until the end of life, according to Bhagavad Gita, it's not that at the end of life we say, all right, I give up. No more sense gratification. As that famous story of, which we all know, I'm sure, the king Akbar and his minister Vibhal. King Akbar asked his minister, up until what stage of life does a man have sex desire? So Vibhal said, up until the time of the last moment of death. So the king was quite surprised. How is this possible? The emperor, Akbar, how is it possible? I don't believe it. So Vibhal said, don't worry, I'll show you. So one day Vibhal came running in and said, come to this room and bring your young princess with you. So the king and the minister enter into the room of a man who's about to die, old man, about to die, and the old man paid no attention to them. But then the beautiful young princess walked in, and immediately the man stood up in his bed, winked at the princess, and then died. So the emperor was convinced, yes, it's true. That everyone is making plans how to become happy. And what is happiness? Pungsa striya maituni bhavam etam turam ritya garanti mahu ato griya shetra sitapta vitar janasya mohoyam ahang mameti. What has brought us into the material world is not usually a desire to save it. We didn't come here expressly like Shukadeva Goswami. Actually, he didn't even come here to save it. In any case, he didn't come as a conditioned soul. He was in the womb of his mother as a liberated soul. And when he walked out of the womb of his mother, he was indifferent to this material world. But he didn't specifically want to save the material world. So we didn't come here to save the material world. Everyone takes birth in the material world, generally speaking, unless you're Narada Muni, to exploit the material world. And that desire to exploit the material world means that the desire is there and the intelligence is there proportionally to exploit the material world. Now, in the lower species of life, there is no question of using one's intelligence for anything other than just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Human form of life, one can utilize his opportunity to hear about Krishna and possibly change one's desires from using the body for sense gratification to utilizing it for pleasing Krishna, devotional service. But if one doesn't have that opportunity, then naturally one can get more entangled than the animals can or the lower species of life. Because a human being can spend his whole life trying to increase his material opulence. And then when he can't get happiness from increasing his material opulence, he falls into the mode of ignorance unless he gets proper guidance and falls into destroying his opulence. Starting a fight, starting a war, getting frustrated, Prabhupada said there was one wealthy man. He had so much money, he didn't know what to do. So he started to take part of his chandelier, a very expensive chandelier, and just break it, taking pleasure in hearing the crystals break. Because they had nothing to do. Like in Western civilization, people become so degraded, they'll do any abominable activity. Who would ever imagine hundreds of years ago that people would develop a desire to climb up on the top of a building and be held by a rope and then jump off the building for fun? And pay money for it. Now, if I took you to the top of a tall building and I said, oh, I'm going to do this for you for free, only I can't afford the rope, so have fun on the way down. Who will do it? Anyone here to volunteer? Go up on the top of a big building and jump off for fun? What kind of fun is that? And yet, modern civilization, for that, that's completely normal. What to speak of other things that they're doing, imagine even 50 years ago, beauty was determined by a certain group of people that you could pierce with rings any part of your body. Your nose, even your eyebrows, your tongue. They even put pearls, pierce their tongue with a pearl. Did you ever see that? You talk to someone who's a big pearl stuck in their tongue. Tattoos all over their faces. You've probably seen that. The whole body full of tattoos. Of dragons and all kinds of horrible living entities. These people are already fearful, fearsome looking. And they just add some tattoos to make them even more horrible looking. And other people say, well, you're ugly, but I can make myself uglier than you. So completely absorbed in the mode of ignorance. And that's the desire that arises from just participating in the material nature. We can't say, this can't happen to me. I'm a devotee. I'm practically back to Godhead. I have one foot in the spiritual world, and I'm one little tiny toenail in the material world. Now, Bart Maharaj, a little desire to help a poor little cub, deer cub. Ooh, cub, deer cub, you're so cute. And he became a deer in his next lifetime. So what to speak of ourselves? Or the poor people nowadays, even devotees sometimes have dogs. They go, ooh, Fifi, you're so beautiful. Rawr, ow. I love you. So what's their destination? At the time of death, the one person who appreciated them was the dog, and that's who they remember. They'll become a dog, probably back as a devotee dog. So what is the value of such cultivating such desire? That the whole idea is we'll become happy. And generally speaking, the original Adi desire is I'm Radha and you're Krishna, I'm Tarzan, you're Jane, I'm Mickey Mouse, you're a Minnie Mouse. I'm Romeo and you're Juliet. This is the original desire. And the whole world originally was based upon that, but it's become so perverted. People don't have the energy even to pretend anymore. But in a normal culture, then there's something called romance, which is captivating because this Krishna is illusory energy. We can't say, I'm a nice person. I can't be captivated by the illusory energy. Like Lord Shiva, he wanted to see, he heard that Mohini Murti had bewildered all the demons. Now, the demons are not ordinary personalities. They're also very powerful personalities who have committed austerity in order to get the power that they have. But Mohini Murti, Krishna's form as a beautiful woman, came and bewildered their minds to such an extent that they gave up the nectar that they worked hard for in order to achieve, in order to get practically immortality, long life. They gave it to this lady. And she said, I'm going to cheat you. And they said, no worries. It's really nice being cheated by a beautiful lady. That's what we're here for. The whole material universe is here to be cheated by a beautiful woman or a handsome man. That's what people live for. Please cheat me. I'm too peaceful. I need some excitement. Cheat me. Hit me harder. Tell me you love me as you pick my pocket. So, Lord Shiva heard about that and he was thinking, wow, I'm Shiva. My wife can't agitate me. Let's see if there's someone or some beautiful lady who can agitate me. So he said, all right, I challenge you, my dear Lord Vishnu. Please show me your beautiful form as of a Mohini Murti and see if you can capture my mind. So Krishna slightly smiled. And then she was sitting there with his wife right next to him. Now his wife is not some ordinary person. She is the personification of the material universes, material energy. When Shiva Kumara went to the last layer of the universe, because Shiva Kumara and Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he not only went to all the different levels of planets in this universe up to Brahmaloka, but he also went to the different coverings of the universe, which are actually inhabited also, but by much more subtle living entities than we are. They also have gross bodies, but they're much more subtle. And he went through earth, water, fire, and they're all different deities, and they're all inviting him to stay there. Of course, they're also worshiping Krishna there. Once you get to the higher planetary systems, to be there, you have to worship Krishna. But there's some other desire. I want to worship Krishna so I can stay here and enjoy on this level. And it gets subtler and subtler. And finally, he reached the last layer before liberation. And Maya herself came there as sex personified and said, I really like you to stay here with me. So we can't imagine the material nature personified as material desire coming and offering, please, I'm surrendered to you, stay here and enjoy with me. He said, well, I'll see you later. And he escaped because he was chanting the Gopal mantra. And therefore he was having a higher taste. But if you get to that stage and you're not chanting I don't know how you can get to this stage without chanting the Gopal mantra, without chanting some spiritual mantra. In any case, he left and went into Brahman, the Brahman effulgence. So what to speak of where we are? We're not quite, you know, we're on Bhumandala. We're in the Jambudvipa of Bhumandala, Bhardvarsha, and Kali Yuga, where we can see most people are going to the darkest regions of ignorance in their next lifetime. If they take birth as a pig, it's because they probably did some devotional service. And what to speak of our poor selves, how much we can become allured by material desire. On the other hand, our only protection is the holy name. And not only the holy name, but to learn how to chant the holy name in such a way is that it actually becomes a holy name to us, not just another name. It becomes a spiritual name. We can experience, not only theoretically, but by experiential, direct experience, how Krishna and his name are non-different. How by chanting his name, Krishna's name, then gradually Krishna will appear within us as in his forms, his quality, his pastimes. And all the while, our experience of the spiritual energy becomes more blissful, consistent, and more intense. And then we can actually understand what love is. Here, everyone is looking for happiness, all in the name of love. They're all talking about love. But ultimately, love is not very prominent in the material energy. It's like Narada Muni came to one hunter and told the hunter, "My dear hunter, you know, why are you killing all these animals? Don't you really..." Oh, he was a killer, actually. He killed people. He said, "Why are you killing all these people? Don't you realize you're going to get some sinful reaction? You're going to have to suffer?" So he said, no problem. I'm doing it. I have love for my family. They love me. I have to support them. And therefore, I'm obligated to do this." So Narada Muni told the killer, he said, "Very good. So please go to your wife and tell her, 'My dear wife, I love you so much. I'm doing all these sinful activities. Please, please, at the end of my life, please share one half of my sinful activities with me.'" And the wife said, "What? What are you talking about? No, all the sinful activities are for you, and all the benefit of your activities are for me." So the husband said, "Well, this is love." So then he went to his children. "I'm doing so many sinful activities in order to support you. Please, please, accept at least some portion of my sinful reactions." The children said, "What?" He said, "You're meant to please us. We're not meant to please you. Get lost." And then he went to the dog. He figured the dog is faithful. He told the dog, I'm doing so many sinful activities. I'm giving you so much support. So please take some of my sinful reactions." So when the dog bit him, he knew that was the last straw. That was the end. And he became a renunciate. So we're talking about love, 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 and we're getting simply problems on the basis of so much desire to be loved, and even our attempts to love others. Mostly it's all within our imagination. This person loves me, and I love this person. But when things are revealed, that actually in this material world, there's no, except the closest thing Prabhupada said is the love between a mother and her child. Because there's some selflessness there. Because what is a good child going to do for you? I mean, it does a little bit, it goes, goo, 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 ah. That's about that maximum pleasure. The child smiles, and the parents go, "Oh, we're in heaven." Then they go, "Ah, rah, rah, oh, God." "Not that again." "Shut up, you." There's some happiness there when the baby smiles, and she emanates happiness. It's not just the smile, but when you feel someone actually happy and blissful, you actually become happy and blissful yourself. There's another mood that's created. And a baby has nothing to worry about, generally speaking, if he's being well taken care of, and the happiness actually radiates, and the parents feel contented that we're satisfied. Our endeavor has produced some happiness. And we're experiencing it too. But it experiences a lot of unhappiness. And the investment one puts into the child, sometimes especially in Kali Yuga, just doesn't pay off. Because the child is not brought up in culture to take care of the parents when they grow older. The child thinks, "Well, good, you know, you worked hard for me. Well, that's my profit and your loss. Goodbye." "See you in my next lifetime." So people are making an investment, and therefore they put their parents in the old age home, they just get rid of them. And therefore people are losing even the taste for taking care of their children. They think, this kid, I don't know where he came from, how he got the thing. We're not going to invest so much time and energy into it, because when we grow up, it's just going to put us into some old age home or try to get rid of us too. So throw them out into the street, let them get an education there, learn how to become a good cat and dog, and we'll meet you in the next lifetime as a cat and dog. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Well, I had to end. I didn't want to end on such a thing, but just to keep the time right. What is the time now? I can't. They actually, for some reason, the clock is covered by flowers. Oh, there it is. It's almost a quarter to. Any questions?
Okay, Hare Krishna. So there is a question from Avadhuta Rai Dasa. Madhavacharya says that various activities of bhakti are initiated from within by Lakshma Devi. And the question is, what do you think about this?
Well, that's nice. If Lakshmi Devi was directing me, I'd be in bliss. Rather than other things directing me. So yeah, Lakshmi Devi is a devotee. So she has, in the spiritual world, Mahalakshmi Devi is directing unlimited living entities to serve Lord Narayan, Krishna. So that's very nice. If Lakshmi Devi came here and asked us, you know, can you get me a glass of water? And we'd say, well, I'm sorry, I'm a devotee of Krishna. You remind me of Radharani, but not quite. Get it yourself.
No, we'd be
blissful that we actually had got a chance to serve Lakshmi Devi. Just like sometimes we have Lakshmi Nishinga. So we also, if we take shelter of Lakshmi Devi, then Lord Nishinga Devi is probably going to help us more easily. So we're also worshipping Lakshmi Devi. Rukmini Devi, Lakshmi Devi, they're all expansions of Srimati Radharani. Just like if you have go to the Himalaya mountains, there's one mountain called Mount Everest, and there's some other mountains which are maybe 100 meters smaller. But from the point of view where we're at, they're all pretty big. They're all enormously big. So they're all these expansions of Srimati Radharani are worshipable. Anything else?
Yes, there is another question, also from Avadhuta Rai. So, devotees not living in the temple have to have various desires. What to do that those desires don't overpower the desire of bhakti, for bhakti?
Well, it's the same desire, same thing everyone does. Even living in the temple, outside the temple, you have to take shelter of the holy name. They were probably recommending that for the householders, they should sit down morning and evening and chant Hare Krishna together with the family and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worship the deities, offer some their food to the deities. That way, during the day, if they do that, then they can remember that their life is dedicated to Krishna. The reason why they're working outside, if they have to, is in order to have a nice household where they can chant Hare Krishna together. Then they'll be protected. Just like we're protected. We come to the program and we chant Hare Krishna and we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita in such a way as that throughout the whole day we're remembering and doing service to Krishna. Then we're protected. It's not that we've changed our dress or we changed our address and therefore Maya won't attack us. When the Yamadutas come to take us away, we go, wait a second, didn't you see this? Take a closer look, kids. Oh, I'm sorry, you're a devotee. Okay. Must have been wrong. What's your name? Oh, it's on the list. Well, take another look. What's that? Oh, we live. So, yes, generally speaking, those who wear Kanti Mala, I mean, a lot of people have nowadays Kanti Mala. You can sell it to a butcher. Tell him, you know, you heard the Yamadutas, right? Well, for just 5 euros, we're off. We have a protection racket. No, some things, yes, wearing kandimala is meant to, this is supposed to be a dog tag. That it's symbolizing that we're surrendered to Krishna and his representatives. We're the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Now we put them on and we become a dog. They don't serve as our protection, they serve as really a dog tag. And when the Yamadutas come, they say, yeah, there's the dog. He has those beads on, we can recognize. So they're meant, what we're doing externally is meant to encourage internal consciousness. Not that we put it on, it's protection, it's emanating anti-Yamaduta radiation everywhere. The Yamadutas come, get him, ah! He has that collar on, it's anti-Yamaduta collar on, we can't touch the guy. It doesn't work like that. All right. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.